From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So as we bring in Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, is it possible that Dallas is great?
Yeah, totally possible. You know, I think one of the things that, I mean, for me, what we saw, we talked about this last week, Adam, you know, with the Cowboys 40-0 win over the Giants week one, we didn't learn anything about the offense. Well,
right.
As you and I were texting last night, they went out and played the Jets. And the Jets have a really good defense, as we know, and they hung 30 on them. And, like, Dak Prescott didn't, you know, I mean, I don't know if he'd say he looked like an MVP or anything like that,
no.
But he certainly looked good. Mike McCarthy calling the plays for, you know, first real time we got to see him calling the plays. We saw something similar to what we saw in Green Bay, which is targets really condensing on, you know, one particular alpha receiver, CeeDee Lamb. One of my favorite guys. And then Tony Pollard, 25 carries.
Yeah.
You know, everybody sort of wondered if he could be a workhorse. Well, if he's a workhorse, but if he's a bell cow back and CeeDee Lamb's going to be that guy and Dak's going to play well in the system, and he credited afterwards, or at least at some point this week, Mike McCarthy focusing on footwork. You know, we have, I mean, I'm not a huge Mike McCarthy guy. I may have cried, like, I mean, he's on my, like, the list of dudes who I consider to be like flamingo jabronis, right? Whatever the heck you want to believe that is.
Just, right.
But, like, you know, he's just one of those guys. And I think that, like, along with Brandon Staley currently right now. But I think that, like, Mike McCarthy, you know, he does have a history of success calling plays and winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback. And maybe more importantly, that defense just might be elite.
Yes.
I think there's five guys with 10 or more double-digit sack games in their first three seasons of their career. It's Richard Dent, Hall of Famer. Dwight Freeney had 10. Michael Parsons had 10, and he's only two games into his third year.
Yeah.
Alden Smith is on that list. He was a freak. And then, of course, Reggie White had 16. So, like, I mean, Michael Parsons is watching those. You go back and watch Michael Parsons yesterday. Holy crap.
Yep.
I mean, he is an animal. So, yes, I think there's a chance that Dallas is really, really good. I think if not for San Francisco, Dallas probably looks like the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, again, I want to give – I think it's proper to give Dallas the credit for what happened last night. And it's funny because everybody was waiting to pounce on Zach Wilson, and he certainly wasn't good. He missed some easy throws early, especially on the Jets – I think it was the Jets' second drive that would have helped them pick up a first down. He made some good plays, too. I think – it wasn't all Zach Wilson's fault, but – I really thought the Jets defensively were kind of poor last night. Not poor for them, maybe, but I thought they were just kind of poor.
I'm trying to think exactly where I saw this. I think it was I saw it reported somewhere, and I can't remember who it is. So I can't cite it, so I apologize. But it was like basically like every single person in the Jets locker room. Like the week after, like Nathaniel Hackett, even the week after, you know, they won on Monday night. And everyone's thrilled, everyone's pumped. And then reality set in.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers is done for the year. And apparently the vibe around the Jets just all week long was just sort of like, you know, and you're going to Dallas. You're playing a team that's got really good on both sides of the ball. And
yeah.
I think there was probably going to be a natural letdown from that insane Monday night game. And people are wondering, like, what do we do at quarterback now? So do we trade for Kirk Cousins? Do we, you know, Ryan? What? Right. I mean, I think you take it as, look, this is a very weird, non-preferred blessing in disguise. Let's just see if there's any chance that Zach Wilson, like, we want to have pick up Zach Wilson's fifth-year option, play out the string, and if you...
No, they're not going to do that. They're not going to pick up Zach Wilson's fifth-year option. Look.
Probably not.
Zach's not the reason they lost the game. And I texted this to you last night, and I want to move on to another game, so we'll finish Dallas and the Jets on this. In a way, I think Aaron Rodgers' injury becomes a blessing for the Jets because their offensive line is terrible, and it would not have allowed – they cannot pass protect. It would not have allowed them to really be as good as they could have been with Rodgers at quarterback, and we saw it. He was under Rodgers was under pressure two of the first four snaps. The second
he got hit on all three of the drop packs.
So yeah, in a way, it's a blessing because it's going to hit them in the face that we need to be much better on the offensive line. And Dallas just exposed all of their problems. Let me move on to the next game. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. I've been waiting for this joke. I get that it might have been the worst coaching job in NFL history last year done by Nathaniel Hackett as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. But I don't believe he lost his first two games at home to two teams that are probably not going to make the playoffs. Sean Payton, thoughts?
Nathaniel Hackett was 1-1, I believe, after two games.
Yeah.
Sean Payton out 0-2 after you lose the Raiders at home, and then you lose to the Commanders holding an 18-0 lead. Russell Wilson averaged 19.3 yards per pass attempt in the first half. Did not do that in the second half. Look, I thought here. I mean, 0-2 is not good. What's interesting about the AFC now, though, because the Chargers are 0-2 and the Jets are 1-1, and I think no one's expecting the Jets to be this like playoff team, right?
No, they'll win five or six games.
Right, but what I'm saying is with the Chargers slow start, and then you really have the Bills are 1-1, the Chiefs are 1-1. You know, you have some surprises at 2-0, but if you look at the AFC, it's oh, interesting. Now this, we thought someone was going to get squeezed out because there were too many teams that were really good. The Bengals are 0-2, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, then Steelers and the Browns play tonight in a game that's huge for the playoff determination, even this early. All of a sudden, there's a spot, that seventh seed, that is kind of open in the AFC because of this Rodgers injury, because of the because of the Chargers starting out 0-2, because the Bengals are 0-2. It's things have kind of opened up a little bit in the AFC where. Even if you're one of those 0-2 teams, the Bengals, the Chargers, the Broncos, you can still pull it together. And I say that because I thought Russ looked really good in the first half.
Yeah.
And he looked like old Russell Wilson. Now, he didn't look like that for the rest of the game. He was average-ish at best.
Yes.
But I think if that first half is an indication of what Sean Payton can get from Russ, then that's really, really intriguing. Now, on the other hand, the defense was good last week against the Raiders, but I don't know that we think the Raiders are good.
No.
And they gave up 37 points to the command to Sam Howell. So
hey, don't be knocking Sam Howell. Hey, Terry McLaurin had a big game. Brian Robinson had a big game running the ball. I don't think the Commandos are all that good.
I'm just saying, we might be looking at one of those. Remember when the Saints went 7-9 three straight years, and Drew Brees was breaking every passing record, and the defense wasn't that good. Maybe the defense isn't that good for Denver, and the offense is going to be. If the offense is good, if Russ is good, and you win seven games, I think you can sort of start saying okay, this is all right. If this is going to be Russ moving forward,
I don't want to say I'm rooting against Sean Payton. But I'm rooting against Sean Payton. Will Brinson is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. You didn't mention the Ravens, who are 2-0 after a road win in Cincinnati. Is that more about Baltimore being really good or the Bengals slow out of the gate again?
I think way more about the Bengals slow out of the gate. They're 0-2 for the fourth time in the last 5 years. No, give credit to Baltimore because they didn't look great against Houston last week,
right.
But they took care of business easily against an inferior opponent. Houston's real bad. They didn't look particularly great, I didn't think. I mean, they looked good at times. They're struggling to sort of get this offense going. Zay Flowers looks awesome.
Yes, he does.
He's fantastic. Mark Andrews came back and looked pretty good. So, I think this is one of those cases where a lot of times people underestimate the importance of stacking wins. For instance, the Chargers and Broncos doing the opposite, not stacking wins. They're stacking L's. The Ravens have found a way, just have won two games in fairly easy fashion. It wasn't they didn't need something crazy to happen at the end. I mean, they took care of business against the Bengals and the Texans. You're 2-0, and you're starting to sort of the first 4 weeks of the season, particularly now in 2023 when we have this shortened preseason and no one plays your players really. The first 4 weeks of the season are a lot about kind of figuring out who you are and determining your identity. And I think you're this is a really good sign for the Ravens. If you're a Ravens backer or a Ravens fan, that this team could start to find their offensive identity in a couple of weeks, and they've been a little banged up too, and just start to get cooking. I mean, I think the Ravens should be the prohibitive favorite to win the AFC North. Although if the Browns look incredible in defense again tonight, then maybe all that's out the window.
I have Ravens to win the Super Bowl plus 1500 fictitiously.
Who do you have them playing?
San Fran.
I was going to say, if it was the Eagles, you could have been the first all-bird Super Bowl.
Oh, look at that. I didn't realize. So let's get to San Francisco.
Flamingo Jabroni's all-bird Super Bowl? I don't know what's going on.
So let's get to that game. The Rams might be really good, right? So I have no idea if the Rams are or not. The win in Seattle, maybe it looks even better after Seattle goes to Detroit and wins, and we'll get to that if we have time as well. But, man, Brock Purdy is obviously good, and right now they seem to be fully operational offensively. Christian McCaffrey is a weapon that we all thought we would see year in and year out for the Panthers, and now he is in a system that is going to put him really in just a highlight reel. He had a long touchdown run in week one. He had a nice touchdown run in week two. They've got everything going.
In that 51-yard run as well. Yeah, if you gave Kyle Shanahan the ability to like create a human being in a lab and like find, and create the perfect football player for his offensive system, it would be Christian McCaffrey.
It would be.
I think so. The 49ers have now won nine straight regular season games against the Rams. They lost that conference championship game. Yep. They have to the Rams in that stretch. And to me, this is about two things. Three things. One, that streak and how Kyle Shanahan just kind of owned Sean McVay in the regular season for a while now. Two, the 49ers, Brock Purdy has answered the question and dismissed the concerns we might have had because they have an incredible roster. We just weren't sure about the quarterback. And he looks really good. He looks like he's picking up where he left off. You could argue this is the best team in football. The Rams thing is more interesting to me because I think they look like a playoff team, even with that loss. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford has been awesome this year. Yep. He's making some. I mean, he had some picks that you don't want to see. One wasn't his fault. One was pretty bad, but he's making throws that we saw in that Super Bowl run they had. They don't have Cooper Kupp. Puka Nacua had 25 targets yesterday.
Yeah,
it's insane. And Kieran Williams running the ball really well. Cam Akers has got some stuff going on. Aaron Donald wasn't a huge factor yesterday, but he. Week one, he was incredible. I think the Rams are going to be in the mix of the NFC all season long.
I agree, and that win in Seattle in week one is going to loom large as we get later and later in the season. Will Brinson is here. Let me ask this question. This is a hot take question. And certainly in week two, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. Is Tua Tagovailoa the best quarterback in the AFC East?
With Sotyktu for moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you could show off your skin again. And you know what that means?
Beach day!
As a TYK2 inhibitor, Sotyktu is the only once-daily pill of its kind for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Ask your dermatologist about Sotyktu today and learn more at SoClearlyYou.com. That's SoClearlyYou.com. Sotyktu, deucravacitinib, is a prescription treatment for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from systemic therapy or phototherapy. Don't take if you're allergic to Sotyktu. Serious reactions can occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections, including tuberculosis. Sotyktu can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Serious infections, cancers including lymphoma, muscle problems, and changes in certain labs have occurred. Tell your doctor if you have a history of these events, or if you have an infection or symptoms like fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you have history of hepatitis B or C, liver or kidney problems, high triglycerides, or had a vaccine or plan to. Sotyktu inhibits TYK2, which is part of the JAK family. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors who use a JAK inhibitor are at increased risk for certain side effects, sometimes fatal. It's unknown if Sotyktu has the same risks as JAK inhibitors. Call 1-888-SOTYKTU to learn more.
Protesters and supporters alike are lined up outside the United States Supreme Court this afternoon as a decision in the most hotly debated case in years is set to be delivered.
From iHeart Podcast, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade.
Sir, I graduated the top quarter of my class.
We just don't have a spot for you.
starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington
for challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
My chief qualification being, I'm uncontroversial.
You know how we both ended up on the Supreme Court?
Politics.
Damn right.
This may be the longest of shots, but it's also the last chance for a lot of women.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
I'm trying to get you to stand for something, man. Now go to it.
Listen to Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tua Tagovailoa is currently the MVP favorite, and by virtue of being a pretty perfect quarterback for Kyle Shanahan / Mike McDaniel's yep. style system, where like the two things they've done, we got a new producer on the podcast, Harry. He's a Dolphins fan. We talked about this with him a little bit last night. Pick Six Podcast, subscribe where you get your podcast. they got the ball out. So Mike McDaniel kind of knew what Bill Belichick was going to do last night, and that was play three high. Not let them throw downfield to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and force them to, one, run the ball, and two, so Mike McDaniel's adjustment was, let's run the football with Raheem Mostert, and then two, let's get the ball out of Tua's hands real, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And Tua is very good at decision making. He's very good at ball placement. His biggest concerns are, maybe if you wanted to worry about arm strength downfield or the health thing. Like, that's the biggest issue. When you get the ball out that fast, he was sacked for the first time all season last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, If they protect, their offensive line's playing well too. If they protect like this, and he gets the ball out, and this offense he plays 17 games, he's going to be in the MVP conversation. And I mean, I'm taking Josh Allen all day over Tua, but man, Tua is playing some really good football right now.
Yeah, the difference between Tua and Allen is that Tua doesn't do stupid things, and Josh Allen loves to do stupid. Of course, he didn't against the Raiders, so good for Josh Allen and the Bills, who are now 1-1. But Miami looks like, and Mike McDaniel, who I think most of us just kind of laughed at when the Dolphins hired him, Mike McDaniel looks like he can orchestrate, right? Like he knows, in a lot of ways, very similar, which makes sense, to Kyle Shanahan, where he knows how to kind of design an offensive attack against what you do defensively. Shanahan does that. Sean McVay does that. All of that is...
Tim Hasselbeck did a good job on Scott Van Pelt's Sports Center last night, breaking it down. There's three plays where they sort of disguised Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage. They had him like lined up under underneath the offensive line, and they ran him on this like sort of a half-looping motion. And it was like one play was a quick throw to Tyreek. The next one was designed on like a tunnel screen to Jalen Waddle. And then the third one was, it was all like kind of like to move the ball, of course, one, but then two, to set up that touchdown throw to Tyreek Hill when he was matched up against Kyle Duggar.
All right, final thing. We got about 60 seconds here on this. I know it's just week two, but I think this is a big deal for the Panthers tonight. There's a lot of reasons why you can't lose this game, and not the least of which is that everybody in the division would be 2-0 and you would be 0-2.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you can – there are different ways you can approach the Panthers season. And if they go 0-2, but Bryce Young looks good but then still makes some mistakes, I think you can be optimistic coming out of this game for a number of reasons. You can also be very pessimistic coming out of this game if Carolina just gets the Saints gave up just 15 points to the Titans in week one. The Panthers need to show something on offense. They need to protect Bryce Young. He needs to not make the mistakes. He needs to not get baited into multiple interceptions on the same throw like he did last week. I think that's – the offense has to show up this week in a pretty big way.
I think it does, and I think they need to
– Derek Carr stinks on prime time. Panthers should win this game.
I hope so. I hope the Panthers win this game. They are home underdogs to the fighting Derek Carrs. Will Brinson, Pick Six Podcast, Super Friend, CBSSports.com senior NFL writer. I will talk to you later, my friend. I appreciate your time.
Says here, happy belated birthday to Carr and Newman, a pair of true flamingo jabronis. See you, buddy.
All right. Happy belated birthdays.
From iHeart Podcast, Supreme, The Battle for Roe tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.